Super Bowl again. How boring. Kevin, I know you're dreaming of Jimmy G.
Sorry, I fell into a sleep coma when I found out the Patriots in the Super Bowl again.
It's okay. I did too, but we're recording. We're doing End Zone right now.
Is it over yet?
No, but why were you talking about Jimmy G so much in your sleep?
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's what I thought.
I know what you're talking about.
Well, yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the End Zone. We're basically breaking up your Super Bowl nap, unless your name is Super Swede. But
we love you, Super Swede.
Really, the Patriots, again, we all knew this at the beginning of the season, Kevin. It was inevitable, I think, but really.
I saw it coming.
Against really the Philadelphia Eagles and Nick Foles, not even Carson Wentz, Nick Foles. How did we get here?
He proved himself to get there, but that's all that's really going to matter. I mean, I don't think it's going to matter in the Super Bowl.
Let's take care of some business before we get into this, because let's do this. So, of course, this is the End Zone here on the Fandom Podcast Network, and you can find not only the End Zone but all the great shows of the Fandom Podcast Network on our homepage, fpnet.podbean.com. You can also use the Podbean app on any of your mobile devices to find our shows. Or if you use iTunes, Stitcher, or if you use an Android device, you can find us on the Google Play. Just look up Fandom Podcast Network to find the feed, not only with the End Zone, but all the great Fandom Podcast Network shows. Visit our Facebook page at Fandom Podcast Network. And of course, you can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com if you have any input you'd like to get in, or complain about refs, or complain about the Patriots, you know, whatever you feel like. And of course, you can also find us on Instagram at Fandom Podcast Network and on Twitter at FanPod Network. And I'm Kyle. You can find me on Twitter at AKyleW. Is it really the Patriots again? And on Instagram at AKyleFandom. Sick of Tom Brady. Kevin, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me at Spartan_Phoenix at Instagram and Twitter.
So here we are. You know, it's been a week now, full week now, since the conference championship games. And once again, the New England Patriots are in the Super Bowl, this time a rematch of an older Super Bowl, once again versus the Philadelphia Eagles in Minnesota. But Kevin, let's start, before we get into a preview of the Super Bowl and all that, let's start with how we got here. And let's start first and foremost with the AFC Championship game, where the Jacksonville Jaguars played a game and proved that they could hang in there, but you just can't let the Patriots have the ball last.
You think they would have learned a lesson from
Atlanta?
The Atlanta Falcons. Yeah, you don't sleep on the Patriots.
No. I've decided, Kevin.
You got to put your foot down on the neck, and that doesn't happen.
Yeah, and that's this is what I've decided. Teams get so paranoid about the Patriots beating them in the second half and making mistakes that they feel the Patriots would capitalize on. They get so overcautious, they let the Patriots come back anyway.
14 unanswered points by the Patriots.
And Jacksonville's offense completely disappeared in the second half of that football game. Leonard Fournette was getting stopped. Blake Bortles couldn't throw a pass more than about 5 yards. And again, I don't even, you know, we made the joke, Kyle, hey, it's Blake Bortles. And Blake Bortles is frustrating, but he probably had the best game of his career in that AFC Championship game.
Teams trailing by 10-plus points in the fourth quarter and playoff game last 10 seasons. The Patriots are 3-4. The rest of the NFL is 3-70.
It's,
And that's what, and Rob Gronkowski even went out with a concussion protocol.
Yeah, I mean, we were all thinking at halftime. But this even started before the end of the first half. Patriots, or the Jacksonville Jaguars, had the ball with 55 seconds left and took a knee, Kevin.
I know.
They could have
made a play. Did they have any timeouts left?
Yeah, they had a couple timeouts left.
And they could have thrown for the side, maybe gone for a field goal, gone deep once. Yeah. And they started out well. They've had Leonard Fournette, you know, put the Jags up 14-3.
Yeah, I mean, Jacksonville was coming out. They were looking like they were. It's the formula I've actually seen beat the Patriots before. They were beating up on Tom Brady. They were making him rush his calls. It was everything.
There was also Blake Bortles' flea flicker.
Yeah, a flea flicker was prominent in the championship games. But I mean, this is why the Patriots are the Patriots, though. They're never out of a game. They just keep chipping away at you, and eventually they wear you down. And then Tom Brady makes passes to Danny Amendola, who makes amazing catches in the back of the end zone. And the next thing you know, they're back in the Super Bowl.
And then he throws another touchdown to Danny Amendola.
So, as much as we complain about the Patriots, at least both teams showed up in the AFC Championship game. I don't think the same can be said for the NFC Championship game.
Before we move on, I do want to say this. And it hurts me to say this, but I have to be honest. I have to be real. What the Patriots have done over the last 15 years is pretty impressive. What is this? Like the eighth Super Bowl they've appeared
eighth
in?
Eighth or ninth now, something like that.
Yeah, Patriots have five right now. They can get six. That would tie the Steelers, wouldn't it be?
Correct.
The Steelers
have six Super Bowls and lead the pack as far as team with the most Super Bowls.
Yeah. Pretty impressive, especially under the same regime, same quarterback, obviously same coach. Of course, there's been, a lot of sketchy stuff going on with, Deflategate and, filming. Of course, it's funny. We as Raider fans complain about that all the time. Of course, the Tuck Rule game and everything. But, I know the Raiders were cheating back in the 70s and 80s, too. And they were Kirch, too.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't
but
trying.
Yeah, exactly. That actually was up in the locker room, cheating is encouraged. Rule number one. Rule number two, see rule number one. I do give credit to them for, for even if they do little sketchy things from time to time, everyone's doing it, but they still have to play the games. They still have to execute the plays and they still have to outcoach people. And that's what they've been doing. And that's why they're a dynasty.
Yeah. But like I said, Kevin, the most disappointing thing to me was actually going to the next game where one team showed up and the other one just, I don't know what happened.
Oh, God, I know, man. Did Minnesota just not want this? Did they not want to go home and host a Super Bowl in their brand new stadium? What the hell happened?
Well, I'm going to look. I have a couple of theories on this. First of all, I think the Eagles were getting very tired of being called the underdogs. It really energized them. Their defense was just monstrous against the Vikings. And, we've been all talking about Nick Foles. Let's not forget, it was only a couple of years ago, Nick Foles, and you should remember this, Kevin, threw seven touchdowns in one football game.
Yeah, against the Raiders at Oakland. I remember that very well.
Nick Foles is a star.
It was like watching a video.
Yeah, it was like watching Madden. I mean, Nick Foles is a starting caliber quarterback in this league. You cannot count his time with the Jeff Fisher Rams because... Yeah, it was the Jeff Fisher Rams.
Do you like him? Do you like him better than Blake Bortles? Because hashtag Kyle hates Blake Bortles.
Yeah. Right now, I probably have him. Well, let's see. Nick Foles is still playing. Blake Bortles isn't. So there you go. But the Vikings, I think the Case Keenum rocket finally ran out of gas a little bit. I think they were so emotionally spent after that Saints game that they came out a little flat. And I think it just was one of those things. The Eagles had all the momentum. They got it early with some great defensive plays and some turnovers, and it just snowballed. It was one of those games where there's nothing you can do. That momentum is just going to snowball. But the Vikings, I mean,
you think they would have had all the momentum in the world going into Philadelphia after that win against the Saints?
Oh, I think, I think they did.
Oh, go ahead.
I just think those early turnovers really zapped it from them quickly, and next thing you know, Philly was up 14-0.
Yeah, I know. Wow. And they were favored too. We were rooting for them. We wanted them to win. We were calling that, and we were both wrong.
Yeah. And I think something that a lot of people have underrated all year a little bit is just how good that Eagles defense really is. Because that Eagles defense, especially in their front seven, is just loaded. And Fletcher Cox is an amazing football player. So
the Eagles, at least the Eagles knew how to finish out a game by putting, you know, their foot on their opponent's neck.
Yeah, exactly. Now, which leads us to the fact that now we have the New England Patriots playing the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl. And we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. But, Kevin, let's talk a little NFL news because there's some couple of decent stories. It's Super Bowl week. Everything's really about the Super Bowl. You're not going to have a lot of conversations about other goings-on in the league. But we had a couple of things happen. A couple of things that I didn't have in our notes, Kevin, but just confirm. The Arizona Cardinals hired a new coach. They hired, I believe the gentleman's name is Steve Wilks. He was the defensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers. Josh McDaniels officially named the Indianapolis Colts coach. Matt Patricia officially named the Lions coach. So you've got both the New England coordinators headed off to head coaching jobs after this game. So
all head coaching job vacancies have been filled, correct?
Correct. That was the other one. Mike Vrabel named the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. And Mike Vrabel, of course, right, former New England linebacker and currently had been the defensive coordinator for the Houston Texans. So I want to, but the first piece of news that I found, Kevin, that I feel is just a great feel-good story. Shaquelle Griffin, who is a linebacker for the University of Central Florida Knights, and I talked about him in a previous episode. This is a kid who, at age 4, had to have one of his hands amputated. And yet this kid, there are scouts that have even said this, if he had both hands, he would be considered a first-round draft pick coming into this next draft. Well, he initially did not get an invite to the NFL Combine. But after his performance at the Senior Bowl this past weekend, the NFL has now extended him an invite to the NFL Combine. And I think this is great because this is a kid who should be playing in the league. If he is not drafted, if some team does not take a 6th or 7th round pick and take a chance on this kid, they're going to shove themselves short because this kid can play football with whether he has both hands or not. This is a kid who intercepted a football with his one good hand in a cast. And he also was one of the top defensive players in the country. And he's a leader. He was voted at the Senior Bowl to be a captain, and he was voted the best practice player of the week, Kevin. So this is a great story.
Oh, that's cool.
This is a great story. His brother, who was drafted last year in the 3rd round by the Seattle Seahawks as a cornerback, so he's got family. I'd love for Seattle to take a chance on him, but I just hope some NFL team gives this kid a shot because he's earned it and he deserves it.
Two questions. What's his exact position he plays?
He's a linebacker, outside linebacker. Okay.
Does he use some type of like covering or glove type thing over his hand stump, I guess?
He does. He does not.
He does not. Okay. I was curious how that
he does use. Now, he does have a prosthetic he uses for training for like weightlifting and things like that.
Gotcha. Okay. Cool. Well, good for him. Let's hope something pans out for him. That'd be great.
And a note on Kyle hating Blake Bortles. Turns out Blake Bortles had some surgery on his right wrist a few days after the Jacksonville Jaguars season ended. And that is his throwing wrist. And apparently it was a problem that plagued him all season.
Interesting. Did we catch any wind of this?
This is the first
I don't remember
yeah,
this.
This is the first I've heard of it. They said he should be fine for opening next year. And then it looks like the Jaguars, because there was a lot of talk, well, will he be the starter for the Jacksonville Jaguars? Jaguars have picked up his option. It looks like he will be their starter next year, no question.
And how do you feel about that, Kyle?
Hey, he got him to the AFC Championship. He has earned that right. I mean, you know, as a joke, Blake, to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, you're an elite athlete and a good player. Blake Bortles is a decent guy. You know, I hope maybe that he did what he went through this season, it elevates him and makes him a better quarterback going forward, and he can stick around for a while. So we'll see about that. Now, Kevin, somebody's getting paid and they're not even playing in the Super Bowl.
Jimmy GQ.
Oh, Jimmy GQ. Okay, wait, Kevin, no. Stop.
Sorry. Dang.
Now, we got, again. Yeah.
Wow.
We have to throw this out to our good friend Jennifer, who brought this up to us. Jimmy GQ is getting paid, my friend.
Yeah. Okay. So Jimmy GQ had a nice payday with the Patriots AFC title and will make more with a Super Bowl win. Garoppolo made $79,000 bonus when the Patriots won the AFC Championship game, and Garoppolo will make $112,000 if the Patriots win the Super Bowl against the Eagles. This is Adam Schefter reporting, and he'll make $56,000 even if they lose. No matter what, this Patriots playoff run has been worth six figures to Garoppolo. Not bad. Of course, a little more than $100,000 will soon be pocket change for Garoppolo. Garoppolo was wonderful down the stretch for the 49ers after the Patriots trade him midseason. Garoppolo will be a free agent and will probably command more than $20 million per season. He was a topic of conversation all week when Brady hurt his hand, as folks with clear 20/20 hindsight wondered why the Patriots traded him. While this was a weird overreaction, whatever success Garoppolo has in the future will always be viewed in the scope of what could have been with the Patriots, now that New England is worried about that now as it prepares for its third Super Bowl in four seasons. So, yeah, dude, he's getting paid, which is cool. So he's traded, right? Which means the contract with the Patriots was traded, meaning the Patriots have to pay up. Clauses.
Yeah, these playoff clauses and stuff, because he did contribute to being part of the team for that season. So if the team makes the playoffs, he still gets a playoff paycheck. Now, here's the kicker of this. And I'm going to have a little fun here for a second, Kevin. Jimmy Garoppolo, of course, got traded, which means he also can be franchise tagged by the San Francisco 49ers, which is probably going to happen if they can't reach any contract agreement with him, which guarantees, I think, him something like $25 million a season.
Right.
Now, let's just throw this out there, because there were whole stories that broke about that Brady wanted Jimmy G gone because the players were liking him too much and they could see the future on the wall, and Belichick wanted to keep Jimmy G, and the owner sided with Brady, and all this kind of, you know, gossip mag crap. But here's the thing. Let's say the Patriots win on Sunday. Giselle has been pushing Tom Brady to retire after last season. What does Tom Brady have left to prove if he wins a sixth Super Bowl? What's left? What if he decides...
A seventh Super Bowl?
what if Tom Brady decides, okay, enough is enough, I can do no more, I'm retiring? The Patriots are screwed.
Let's put feeling aside. Okay, I don't see him doing that, but if he does, okay, so let's say he does, then what?
Brian Hoyer is your starting quarterback for the New England Patriots next season. Now, here's my...
I'll tell you one thing. There's going to be a lot of people celebrating that.
Now, here is my realistic thinking about this. They're going to win the Super Bowl. I think they draft a quarterback this offseason, or maybe sign somebody free agent-wise. Brady plays one more season and retires. Kind of grooms the guy, so on and so forth. But Tom,
but that's it. I think he's got a couple more years left.
I think Tom Brady wants to play till he's 45, and I don't think anybody's going to dissuade him from that unless his body just gives out on him in the next year or two. So, now, Kevin, there is one other thing that happened in football this week. I didn't put it in the notes.
Oh, I know what you're trying to talk about.
I seem to go back a few weeks ago and said something about this particular subject, Kevin. And I wanted to say...
Yeah, you did. You brought...
I was right, because, ladies and gentlemen,
yep,
this is the XFL! Vince McMahon has brought back the XFL. Now, I do have to say, Kevin, I actually watched about the first 5 minutes of the press conference he gave this past week. And it was a different Vince McMahon than I'm used to seeing. First of all, he has started a whole new company called Alpha Entertainment that is going to own every team in the XFL, and it will have no ties to WWE. So first of all, that's a good thing, I think, for people to take the XFL seriously this time around.
Did you say one company is going to own all the teams?
One company is going to own all the teams. Wow. It's going to be 8 teams. They haven't announced any of the cities yet. It will be a 10-week...
Oh, please, please bring one to Atlanta, please.
It'll be a 10-week regular season. And it will start in the year 2020, allowing Vince McMahon 2 years to get the league set up, with the goal being to have all 8 teams set up for business by 2019. So they have a full year to have the team together, be working together. So the quality of play is a lot better than when the XFL started the first time around. It's going to be straight up football, a lot less gimmicky, no WWE ties. I'm going to say this. I think this has a chance depending on a couple of things. One, when he decides to schedule it. I think he's got to make it a summertime league.
Oh, totally.
He doesn't have any kind of TV contracts yet, but one thing he does have in his back pocket is the WWE does have actually a very good streaming presence and internet presence with their product. And he could easily go that route with the XFL and then maybe work out a contract with another network, perhaps like at Fox Sports or One or something like that. It's hard to say, but he seems very legitimate about it. And one of the things he said that I found very interesting was that Alpha Entertainment will own all the football teams. There won't be separate ownership. So that makes it basically, and he said, there's not going to be people here trying to make political statements. That's not going to be allowed. You're going to stand for the anthem. You're going to do this. And then something I found very interesting. If you have a criminal record, you will not be eligible to play in the XFL.
Interesting. Okay.
I think there's a lot of people who want to see something like that.
I'm sorry. Can you touch on something you said?
Yeah.
You said you saw a different Vince McMahon. Explain that.
You know, when we see Vince McMahon, and even go back, and I know you watched. Did you watch that 30 for 30 on the XFL, Kevin, that ESPN did?
I did, yeah. That was a great special.
Vince McMahon always has a big ego, very big, very boisterous. That, you know, kind of that greatest showman personality is what I'm going to would say. He was very reserved, very soft-spoken. His conversation was not confrontational with the reporters. It was very intelligent, came across very even keel. And it's not a side of Vince McMahon I'm used to seeing. And here's the thing. Everybody's talking about, well, if he's going to finance this himself, what's he going to do? You forget, Vince McMahon owns a huge company in WWE. He sold 3% of his stock and made enough money to finance this venture. If he needs more, he can sell a little more stock. And between the announcement of the XFL and what happened Sunday night in the WWE's Royal Rumble, and like Kevin, I understand you're not a big wrestling fan, and you're not really a big UFC fan, but Ronda Rousey, I know you know that name.
Yes.
She officially joined the WWE Sunday night.
What do you mean join? Is she going to wrestle, or is she just going to be a personality?
No, she's going to be a full-time wrestler now. She's done with UFC,
wow,
and she's going WWE. Between those two events alone, the WWE stock went up 15%. Vince McMahon made all his money back from whatever stock he sold, plus some.
Oh, jeez.
So I hope this does well. I want this to do well because, if nothing else, I'd love this to be a summertime league. And we talked about this when we talked about this a couple weeks ago, Kevin. I think this would be great for college players who are fringe players or some guys who may be out of the NFL who never got a chance to develop because they were bench players and never got to break through. It turns into a little bit of something they can work on their skills, develop themselves more, where they might not have gotten that opportunity before. Kind of like when the NFL had the World League.
I got a question for you. Do you know if, so this is an opportunity for players who want to play football but aren't in the NFL. If some of these players go to this thing and they excel well, is it possible that they can leave the XFL and go to the NFL, or is there going to be some more ironclad contracts that's not going to allow that?
I
or if that happens, are they going to expect a kickback from an NFL team or something?
It's hard to say. I can't imagine they would prevent somebody from going to the NFL. But who knows with that? But it was funny. Within minutes on Twitter, all we saw on Twitter was two things. XFL, Manziel, XFL, Tebow.
Oh, jeez. What I'm curious about is, are they going to resurrect some of the old team names that if they're going to have the teams back? I can't remember all of them right now, but some of them are pretty cool.
Yeah, well, I remember they had an LA team, a New York team, a Vegas team, a Chicago team, and a team in Orlando. And so I'll be curious to see. He says it's going to be eight teams going out, and within the next 6 months, he hopes to have at least four of the teams named. City's named for that.
And how many games in the season are they going to have? Are they going to play everyone twice?
10 games.
10 games. Okay. All right. So, and then I assume that if it catches on and does well, there's always room for expansion.
I'm sure. So.
Yeah. Okay.
But, you know, we'll see what happens. With the XFL is kind of one of those interesting things in football history.
This should be entertaining.
Now, Kevin, it's time to talk the big game. Sunday night, 6:30. The New England Patriots, favored by 4.5. Take on.
That's gone down a little bit.
Yeah, a lot of action.
Started at like 9.
Yeah, a lot of action on Philly. A lot of action on Philly. But yes, the New England Patriots, favored by 4.5. Versus the Philadelphia Eagles in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Got a question for you.
Okay.
Do you have a Super Bowl tradition? Do you go somewhere to watch it?
I do. I.
What do you do?
I watch the game with my dad. Me and my dad get together. We watch.
Cool.
We watch the Super Bowl.
That's cool.
So.
That's cool.
That's kind of been for as long as I can remember. So that's kind of my Super Bowl tradition.
If I'm watching at home, I'll usually order a pizza, maybe from like Papa John's or something, mm-hmm. a little bit beforehand, and pick it up right before it starts. You know, watch a little bit of the preview stuff, but I'm more interested, and I'll record it too because I want to record it for the commercials. You know what I miss though, and I don't know if anyone's doing it this time, and I want to ask you. I miss other networks getting in on the halftime thing. Remember, like, a Living Color had their own
one of the greatest halftime shows ever.
Yes, yeah. More people were watching that halftime show with Living Color, and I kind of wish more. I wish more programs would get into doing that, even if it was like one of the most popular TV shows. On the network, they ran like a little 15-minute episode or something if you didn't want to watch the halftime or something.
You know, I think the reason why we don't see that anymore, honestly, Kevin, is I think people are afraid of the NFL. The NFL has become so big and so powerful. I think people are afraid to go against it.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
So, but let's talk about the game itself. Obviously, New England is the favorite, as they should be. They are the defending champs. Let's just go right to the chase. Do you think the Philadelphia Eagles have a chance to pull the upset, Kevin?
I think they have a chance. I do. If that defense can keep it up, they're going to have to step it up against the Patriots offense. I think they have a chance. I think there's a lot of players on that defense that are playmakers and that can strip balls and block this and sack that.
Yeah,
and disrupt that Patriots, because I mean, one thing for sure, I think that they'll be looking a little, at least at the first half of the Jaguars game, because the Jaguars were defense was playing quite well, and then kind of, you know, make sure they try to stay on point there, but I don't think they're gonna win. The question is, honestly, is how much is New England gonna win by?
Well, okay. First of all, I do agree with you. I do think Philadelphia has a legit shot, mainly because of their defense. I think their defense is the second best defense in the NFL behind that Jacksonville defense. I don't think it's quite as good as that Jacksonville defense, but I think that front seven is very good. I do think Philadelphia has a little bit more offensive firepower than Jacksonville does.
Agree. A little more versatile,
yeah,
too.
They have three pretty good receivers. They've got a couple very solid tight ends. And they rotate three running backs And they're all pretty good running backs, and they're all a little different. You've got the power man and Blunt. You've got Jay Ajayi, who they got from the Dolphins, who's a bit of do-everything. And they have that kid Clement, who's a great receiver out of the backfield. And let's not forget they've got Alshon Jeffrey and Torrey Smith. And Nick Foles, I think, is we saw if we see the Nick Foles we saw against the Vikings, the Eagles are in this game.
Right, yeah.
But here's the thing. It's the Patriots. It's the Super Bowl. They just go to another level. They go to another place. And if they're even remotely close with 5 minutes to go, they're going to walk away with this.
I assume with Gronkowski going through the concussion protocol, he will be ready for game time.
Yeah, he is already practicing, so he should be.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Fine. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest, though, and let's call this a spade. Unless you're an Eagles fan or a New England fan, I really don't think most of the general population is really that excited for this year's Super Bowl.
Honestly, no. I mean, I think most of the nation is probably rooting for Philadelphia, if any. But, you know, and this is not a hit on New England at all. You know, New England, you've done a great job bringing championships home, and you're about to do it again. But the rest of us don't care anymore.
Well, we're sick of it. We're sick of it. We're sick of it. I mean,
yeah, we're sick of it. And you know, I mean, congratulations to you guys for having the dynasty as long as you have. You definitely deserve it. But when you're that good for so long, your opponents are just gonna get sick of you and want to see some new. Personally, I would rather have seen, you know, two teams have never made it before. That would have been interesting. That would have been fun.
Yeah, no, I would
Jacksonville. I'd rather have seen Jacksonville and keep this in mind. It's not because I don't like the Patriots. I just, you know, I was saying that for a while, I was saying the same thing about the Bulls. I was getting tired of seeing them in the playoffs all the time, you know, as good as Jordan was, I was getting sick of it.
Well, it's even when the Bills went to four straight Super Bowls. Yeah, they didn't win one, but come on, Buffalo again, great. By the fourth one, we were like,
right,
Buffalo's
right.
In a Super Bowl to there lose was that, again. And,
yeah, that was going around. Yeah, no, just a little bit twist on
wanna,
that.
I so want to ask you something, a legitimate question, Kevin. Do you think there would be higher interest if Carson Wentz was healthy and quarterbacking Philadelphia?
That's a good question. I would say yes.
Yes,
because Carson Wentz is one of those players that kind of reminded me the likability that Carr had. Great guy, and everyone around the league was rooting for him because this was a feel good story. You know, coming out of here, changing this team around and becoming the leader and being as good as he is before that. Unfortunately, I mean, because when he got injured, it was very similar to when Carr got injured. Or when Deshaun Watson went down, same thing. You know, we were rooting for Deshaun Watson because we liked his story. And the same thing with Carson Wentz. So this would be a little more interesting if Wentz was thrown. Yeah.
Well, let's be realistic. If Carson Wentz doesn't get hurt, he's probably the NFL MVP.
Agreed.
And so here you have what you would have really had was really the young gun coming in. Remember, Wentz is only in his second year. So it would have been kind of the young gun versus the old vet at this point. So I think that would have been very interesting, would have been a passing of the torch type of game. So, yeah, I think Nick Foles just does not inspire great NFL excitement.
Yeah. The other thing I want to ask you is about the Super Bowl commercials. It seems like it's kind of been on the decline the last several years. Would you agree with that?
I think the internet has severely
the entertainment. What?
I think the internet has severely hurt Super Bowl commercials. In fact, I've already seen 3 or 4 of the Super Bowl commercials already on the internet this week.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping, you know, there's always a couple of good ones with, like, you know, the Anheuser-Busch Clydesdales or something cool like that, you know, and like the one with the puppy last year was cute, but they're just the humor just hasn't seemed to be there, and I'm getting tired of the Super Bowl commercials where you've never heard of the company before, and they try to make a splash and they fail. You know, they just spend all that money and you never hear from them again.
Kevin, let's talk about that though. I did put in our deposit for our Super Bowl ad this year.
Oh, you did? Did we raise enough money through T Public for that?
When Vinny and Guido come calling, I gave them your address. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, thank you.
And the interest on $1 million for 3 second spot is, you know.
So I don't know. I'm gonna watch it obviously because I'm curious. Is it Justin Timberlake?
I think he's safe as long as we keep Janet Jackson away.
Okay, I actually like Justin Timberlake, especially when he visits Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. I think he should be on Saturday Night Live like every year. So I actually might watch that. I'm kind of curious. I think he's a good entertainer. But I don't like buy his albums or anything, but I think he's good. So, and I'm sure he's good to have some guests on there as well. But of course we'll watch it for the commercials and stuff and see how it goes. I'm not going to be excited about it, to be honest with you.
Of course, and the biggest prop in Vegas is, will we actually see a solo trailer entering the Super Bowl?
Oh, God, that, yeah. Yeah, that's actually the one good thing about the Super Bowl is you get really cool movie previews usually.
Yeah. So before we make our official Super Bowl pick, Kevin, let's talk a little NFL playoff challenge.
Oh, we're going to go into fantasy now. Okay, all right, okay.
It seems like it's the only way our teams would ever make the Super Bowl is in a fantasy.
So I want to remind people that are in this league that I think they changed the rule. I thought that after, and I want to correct myself from the last time we talked about this, they used to lock your team after you made your pick for the conference game, and whatever players that you had going into the Super Bowl, that's it, even if they were eliminated. But you are now allowed to go and add people, add players that are still active teams into the Super Bowl. So if you are playing the playoff challenge, don't give up just yet. Go back and to your team, and if some of your players from Minnesota didn't make it, the Jaguars, replace them with Pats or Eagles, and see how you can do there. Now, the week prior, if you remember, I was number 12, mm-hmm. and you were number 10, if I remember correctly. Things changed a little bit.
Yeah, you shot up all the way too. Now, you started Amendola, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, that was the big one. If I was started Amendola, I'd have been right there with you.
So here's the choice. As you know, and I'm going to remind people, that each time you play a player the next week, you get double points. And then if you play them again, they get triple. If you start them from week one when maybe they had a bye and they're still alive in the Super Bowl, you get quadruple points. Well, I started Amendola. The choice that I made going into this was, do I go all Patriots or do I take a chance on someone that I think is going to make it into the Super Bowl? Well, if I would have done that, that would have been the bad decision because I was betting on the Minnesota Vikings, which many of us in this league were. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to start off with Amendola, and I'm going to throw in James White, you know, because he might vulture something. He might get a couple plays, and I'm going to go all Patriots. It hurts me to say that, being a Raider fan, but if I want to win this playoff league, that's the smart move. So I am at second place right now. And I am down. I'm at 403 points. The leader, Chappie, he's at 422. His team, okay. He has Brady going in with triple points, and he has Gronkowski going in with triple points. Then he has Brandon Cooks and Gronkowski, the kicker, going in with double points. But he still needs to find new running backs and new wide receivers, and he's got to switch up to a new defense. So he's not getting the bonus points that I am. So I have a good chance to take this one home and see what happens there, because six of my eight players are all getting quadruple points going into the Super Bowl. Kyle, you're at eighth spot right now at 332. Let's see what you got going on here. I can't see your Super Bowl pick, but you'll be going with Let's see here. It looks like you're going in with Brady with quadruple points, Deion Lewis with triple points, Gronkowski with quadruple points, and Gostkowski with double points. But you got to switch up your defense. Oh, wait, you got Brandon Cooks going in with double points, too.
I am adding
Jai
at running back.
Oh, okay, so you are going Philadelphia. Okay.
And I'm going with Philly's defense because I think they're going to at least score one defensive touchdown in this game.
Okay, that's a good bet. So you remember I was pretty much dead last after the first week. I was second to last or third to last after that, and look how far I shot up.
Now, Mr. Reitzel, all I'm going to say is this. You were talking a lot of trash like you already had this thing won after last weekend. And let's just say...
Okay,
I'm just going to say... Never mess with the fantasy football gods.
Well, let's look at my buddy Bob. He's behind me by, let's see, he's at 397. I'm at 403. Okay. He and I have a little side bet on this. You know, the winner of this, there's some stakes at hand. So, like I said, six of my eight players are getting me quadruple points, Tom Brady being one of them. He has Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, and the kicker, Steven Gostkowski, going with quadruple points. But he has to replace his defense, both his running backs, and both of his wide receivers.
Okay, you got him in that. Unless Philly goes bonkers. I think you got at least him beat for your side bet.
But you have to understand, it's quadruple points. Think about this for a second. Even if Brady only throws one touchdown... for like 1 yard, that's 6 points times four. If he only throws a 1 yard touchdown for the whole game. Six times four for one touchdown.
Did we need to wait? So, are you going to break into a little Schoolhouse Rock on this for us, Kevin? Three is the magic.
Now, like I said, when I went into this, I was like, you know what, I gotta bet on the Patriots, you know. But there was a couple of spots I like, you know, I'm gonna try see if some of these other teams make it, and I came to the conclusion that I can't rely. No other team is a shoe-in for the NFC here, you know. And so going into the conference championship, I went all Patriots and. So a couple spots there. I'm only going to get double points with Amendola and I think it's Cook. So, White. Sorry, James.
Oh, there you go. So, well, that covers the fantasy angle, Kevin. So I think it's time. What are the end zone Super Bowl predictions, Kevin? I'm starting with you.
Are we giving scores or just predictions?
Make a prediction if you want to say it's a close. Give a score, go for it. But
I'm going to say... I want to say Philadelphia. I really, really, really do. Oh, man. Do I feel comfortable doing that? You know what? I'm going to say, Philadelphia 31, Patriots 34.
Okay.
I was going to say Philadelphia, but I'm going to say it's going to come down to a field goal, a little high scoring game, but 34-31 Patriots.
Okay. I can see that. For me, I think I'm going to go a little bit lower scoring than that just because I think Philly's defense is a lot better than, and I think it's going to be, but I still say, I'm going to go Philadelphia 20, Patriots 28.
Okay. I went a little bit higher because of after that that run that Philadelphia did against Minnesota. I think they can put points on the board.
But remember now, they had two defensive touchdowns against Minnesota as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But still, even if you took those two touchdowns away, it was still pretty high scoring.
But I do have New England winning. I will have New England covering the spread. And, you know, I am going to be, however, in my heart, as much as it pains me to root for a Philly team, I will be rooting for the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have a championship yet. They've lost a few, obviously. Is this their third trip to the Super Bowl?
Yes, it is. They lost once when they had Jaworski at quarterback. I want to say that was 80.
Against the Raiders.
They lost, obviously, the McNabb year with McNabb and Owens on the Eagles. They lost to the Patriots.
Yeah.
And now a rematch.
Yep, yeah.
Now,
but, you know, it's football. I'll be watching. And so I got a question for you, and one probably our listeners are going to have. Are we looking to do a Super Bowl recap, or are we going to wait till we hear some news in the offseason and maybe do, wait a little bit closer to the draft or something?
I think what we'll do is we will have a little bit of a short Super Bowl recap show. If the Patriots win, it might only be about 10 minutes, but I think the Super Bowl is worth giving a short recap. Then we will probably have a little bit of a break. Then I'm thinking probably sometime in March we'll probably have a free agent show because free agency will start.
That's
right. And then we will have our NFL draft preview show or after the draft show. We'll decide that as we go along. And then we'll probably be on vacation until sometime in July as training camps open and kind of start giving our fantasy football preview, our 2019 NFL season preview. But, you know, it's been a fun season, Kevin. We've had some ups. We've had some downs. You got a lot to look forward to next year. Your Chucky is back.
Yeah.
So, but we're not quite done with this season yet. So I'm looking forward to closing it out. And before we...
Oh, by the way, can I just say before we go, I was really happy with Carr's performance at the Pro Bowl. It looked like the NFC was going to take that, and he came back and threw some touchdowns, and Delanie Walker caught his winning touchdown. And
wait.
You know, he was impressive. It was nice because a lot of the other teams' receivers that were on his team but on other teams were impressed by his
work. Kevin, if there's a football game played that nobody cares about, did they actually play a football game?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Okay.
Yeah, and Carr broke some records in those throwing challenges and stuff. He was pretty good. I gotta show a little love to my Carr. Gotta show a little love to my Carr.
Yeah. Well, before we close out of this episode of The End Zone, real quick, Kevin, let's tell everybody what else is going on the Fandom Podcast Network. And, of course, starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, where we bring you all the latest in news, reviews, and other crazy stuff going on. And, of course, we've got the Gunter's Guide to Ready Player One, our preview show for all that is Ready Player One before the movie comes out in November. And, of course, we're doing our countdown to Avengers Infinity War, where we are going in cinematic order of all of the Marvel Universe films leading into Avengers Infinity War come May. So very excited about that. Of course, we've got Discoville covering everything that is Orville and Star Trek Discovery. And I've come to the conclusion, Kevin, nobody's safe on Discovery anymore.
No. Good show. Yeah. Good show.
We got Couch Potato Theater covering everything that is that cult classic that, of course, you might find on cable that you come across it, you just leave it on, you can't turn it off, you sit there on the couch, you eat your popcorn, and just enjoy it. And we're getting ready to do a little Tango and Cash, Kevin.
Yeah, Cash and Tango.
And of course, the Time Warp. Later this week, we start our look at the year of 1985, which of course our good friend Aaron Gill says is the 80th of all the 80s years.
Yeah, so excited about looking at that. We're going to be recording that later this week, and it should be out shortly after that.
And of course,
part one, that is.
And of course, we have our friends over at Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast, bringing you all about the history of the master of suspense, Alfred Hitchcock. An absolutely amazing show, a real education in Hitchcockian lore. But Kevin, the special stuff's been happening at Blood of Kings, because not only has it been all about the end game this week, but you had an amazing weekend that's going to be coming up, talked about in future episodes of Blood of Kings.
Yeah, very soon. We've been covering the Highlander Endgame movie because I participated in Adrian Paul, who starred in the television Highlander series in the 90s. He is doing what's called the Sword Experience, and he's teaching sword choreography from like TV and movies. And he had one going on here in Atlanta. and contacted ahead of time. And I also not only participated in the sword experience and met some wonderful people, and also reunited with some wonderful people. I got an interview with Adrian Paul himself. So we started with our Endgame retrospective, followed it up this week with the Endgame commentary. Then we also recorded a fan reaction show because we realized how important that Endgame was to a lot of people and what it meant, and a lot of different opinions. And so we collected a bunch of great comments from our fans and listeners on our Facebook pages. And so we recorded that, but then we also recorded the reaction that I had, the reaction show to the sword experience, and including a couple of interviews from fans, and of course, an interview, exclusive interview with Adrian Paul himself, Mr. Duncan MacLeod.
Yeah, that was awesome. And you had a great picture of you and Adrian, which, my friend, if you don't get printed up very nicely and get framed, I'm going to shoot you. It was a great picture. But you know what? Like I said, it's been a fun season. It's not over yet. Yeah, neither of our teams are in the Super Bowl, but hopefully it's going to be a competitive Super Bowl and a fun Super Bowl, my friend. And, you know, I'm going to just say, may all your Jimmy GQ dreams come true this week, Kevin.
Jimmy GQ.
And with that, we're making our final Super Bowl run into the end zone.